Then he said, don't wish it was easier, wish you were better. Don't wish for less problems, wish for more skills.
I can't catch a break, guys.
Yeah.
Get them the fuck away from me. I can't be around those guys.
People think, oh, well, cleaning your room, that's just a cliche. It's like, yeah, really, eh? Just go ahead and try it.
If people had any idea how powerful sleep is for healing from anything, and the fact that it's free.
My mind is absolutely bulletproof, solid as a rock.
Podcast. Hello guys, welcome to another episode of the Fighting Fit Podcast. I am joined again today by Chris and Brandon, two of the coaches down here at our personal training studio in the Dock. The topic of today's podcast is going to essentially be around mobility, movement, and why it's important for you to add longevity to your training career. Brandon is going to essentially be taking the lead on this. Brandon has had a huge interest in mobility and movement over the next couple of weeks, so much so that he even changed his name on Instagram.
Fighting Fit Movement Coach. No, FF Movement Coach.
But on a serious note, Brandon's been reading a really, really good book we definitely recommend. It's called The Supple Leopard by, was it Kevin Kelly? Kelly Starrett.
Kelly Starrett, good stuff.
Yeah, by Kelly Starrett. And he's also completed his Pilates examination. So we've got a Pilates course starting here next Wednesday. Wednesday being the, checking my calendar, the 23rd of January. It's going to be running a couple of kind of 4-week introduction courses. Jenny has also been studying Pilates as well, and she's on the brink of being certified as well. So it's something that we really wanted to, myself, I kind of, as the business owner, I really wanted to invest in kind of Pilates, in movement, because I felt that, you know, it was almost kind of that missing piece. As we've talked about before, kind of people really want to work out, they want to lift heavy weights, they want to train at high intensity. But people, myself essentially as well, like, you know, you neglect the stretch and you neglect taking that time out to do your mobility work, to do your foam roll, and just find it extremely tedious. So what we want to do is we want to make it fun for people, we want to make it functional. We kind of really, today we just want to highlight the benefits as to why it's important and why you should incorporate it into your training program. So Brandon, I'm going to let you take the lead. So why is it important? If I'm kind of an average Joe, why should I invest in my mobility and my flexibility?
Right, so what you want to do is you want to adopt a set of principles that are different to maybe what you might see in the gym. Now, if you adopt these principles in the gym, you're probably going to be more successful in the gym in terms of overall performance, in terms of posture, in terms of alignment. But, I mean, like, there is an awful lot going on with basic movements that, well, one, I feel like most people are kind of forced into what I call desk posture, you know, where your hip flexors are brutally tight, your back is hunched, your shoulders are pulled forward, and your neck is also hunched forward, and your traps are raised, traps from the muscles that join your neck onto your shoulders. The reason that it's very important for you to learn how to move with a good set of principles, and the principles that I kind of have here are learning good spinal mechanics, the torque laws, the one joint rule, which is basically where you move through your hip or your shoulders. They're basically the two kind of joints that you, and obviously, look, you've got your elbow joint and you've got your knee joint, your ankle joint, your wrist joint, and all that kind of stuff. But the main ones that you want to focus on in terms of exercise and movement, especially for all gym goers, would be your hip joint and your shoulder joint, because they're the ones, you know, with the extremities attached to it, that are going to bear the brunt of the load, so your hips and your shoulders. Most people, at least that I've come into the general public, are going to be compromised in that area. I know that I was, and I was an athlete and played sports for years.
I feel like that it's just sort of cut across, is like that's one of the key issues. It's like, particularly if you're an athlete and you're doing these kind of things, that's when it can even exacerbate the problem, because you're doing all this high intensity training, you're training hard, and you're naked, so it makes it even worse.
Yeah, you're really putting the grind on, and when you do that to your body and you're doing it wrong, it's not something that, like, I'm 23. When I was 17, I had a serious back injury. I remember I was sparring with you, and I blew out my back, and I was out for 2 weeks at like 17. It's terrible. I take a group of kids for football, and they can't do an overhead squat. And one of the things that I used to constantly hear was, you know, just look at kids, they just run naturally. It's like, not anymore, they don't. Mm. You know, they, like, because for me, I know when I was young, I sat in school, but outside that, I ran and played. It's like, now kids sit on the PlayStation all day, you know, they sit on an iPad or a phone or whatever like that, like, constant. So
and on top of that, it's like the red tape in the playground. It's like kids are almost barely allowed to play anymore.
Yeah. And that really does, it really does play havoc on your posture. And posture is so important, because one of the big things is like something that you do a little bit or even a lot of, like sitting every day, it's like really adds up, and your body will mold into that shape and solidify, and you will find it ridiculously hard to kind of reverse engineer that to move into what you'd call, you know, being mobile or properly aligned. So basically through Pilates and through the Supple Leopard, the two of them just was a beautiful combination to work on together, because what Pilates is, what I think Pilates is it's a system of movement that is more about, now there is, you know, the Pilates, what would you say, the Pilates program, you know, there is these exercises that the prescribed program, there is a series of exercises that you can do, but as if you can do nearly any movement, you can take these same principles to yoga, you take them to gym work, you know, like I've been messing around, like I've been saying a whole bunch of stuff, like, you know, ped laddies, as in, you know, a pedicure, you know, your feet, taking the principles and moving your feet with the same principles as Pilates, slow. So the principles would be concentration, precision. So you're paying attention to what you're doing, but you're being precise about it. You're being very controlled. You're focusing on your breath. You've got coordination. You're moving slow. You're trying to work towards a low compensation factor. So you, like, if you're moving your arm, you're moving just the arm, and you're getting out of the area of, you know, turning and rotating the rib cage if that's not what the intention was to do. You're trying to isolate either a muscle or a joint or multiple muscles or joint, but the idea is that you isolate it and you're not compensating. You're focused intensely on your core, because everything is basically attached to the core, you know, everything that's not your arms or your legs and your neck basically is your core. And you basically need to draw everything in to build a strong core, to be able to move anything off that. And as I said, if you've got a rounded back, a forward tilted pelvis, or your kyphotic, which was the rounded back, or your lordotic, which is the forward tilted pelvis, he might have been told that this by a physio from time to time. It's like, that's going to seriously affect how the extremities move and how you bear weight, and particularly on your spine. And I don't know how many people I know have, you know, back problems or spine problems or shoulder injuries.
What's your favorite quote about the spine, Joseph?
You're only as young as your spinal column. But it generally is a case, like I went to a chiropractor with my girlfriend's mom, and basically kind of what he said, what was wrong with her, was that her lumbar spine was fused together, essentially. Now he didn't do a scan or anything like that. Just based on pure mobility and what she had, it seemed to be that her spine had fused together. And look, it very well could have been. But basically what I think happened was, essentially, you know, the pelvis tilted forward, and almost to, you know, create a rest on the spine and the pelvis to bear weight, you know, like a shelf. And then what happened was the muscle atrophied and got really tight through, you know, not moving the pelvis and not drawing up through the core for whatever reason. And then what happened was that kind of just solidified. And as I said, you know, ossification can occur. The bones can literally solidify into place through, you know, micro fractures or micro tears and all this kind of stuff to strengthen the area. But that's what counterintuitive to mobility and movement. So, you know, in a process for the body to trying to be as structurally sound as it could in a compromised position, would try and fix that. And, you know, in a simple manner, basically what he advised was to move. Now, he didn't give her any kind of prescribed program, but he basically said to try and move and try and, you know, create micro movements that would free up the joint. And the way that you do that is by pulling on the muscles, and you do that by tilting your pelvis forward and back, using your core and your lower back muscles. And basically, that's kind of what Pilates in the most part is more about. I think Joseph Pilates, he had multiple injuries. I think he had rickets and a couple of other things I can't just name off the top of my head. And he basically designed a system of movement that would strengthen, you know, build real intrinsic strength. And that's basically what it's all about. So as I said, intrinsic strength, you align yourself properly, and most of it works in relation to your spine. Because as I said, it's like, if you damage your spine, you can't move. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you set, depending on how far you sever your spinal cord, depends on how far along the chain you're going to be paralyzed. So, you know, if anybody gets a back injury, they're out. They're on their bum. And it works off posture, as I said, which is a thing of constant correction. Like I constantly pick you guys up on it, and myself even just now. It's about a constant state of mindfulness and picking yourself up and know and learning what the proper alignments are and learning where a muscle should set in relation to the insertion or the origin of the muscle in the tissue. So paired with the Supple Leopard book, I basically learned how to take them principles across to what they talk about in the book, which is the archetypes of movement. So if you got level one, which is basically moving from just one archetype. So it would be something like your squat archetype level one, which is just bending at the knee and the hip, but maintaining, you know, your shoulders back, your core braced, your pelvis in neutral, and moving into that safely. Because I just noticed for myself, like if you can just do that archetype, it's not only a movement and an exercise, but it's also, you know, a diagnostic tool. Because if you move into that shape and you can't get into the posture that says is optimal, well then you can literally spot where the tension is in the muscle. And for some people, you know, you're, as I said, the main ones seem to be rounded in the chest, tightened shoulders, either forward tilted pelvis or completely flattened the back, or whatever your problem might be. But it translates directly in the exercise, and the two of them work in tandem. So what I want to do for our clients is I want to develop a system whereby through the Pilates, we're basically obviously going to run the prescribed movements, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like they're really, really good, really good. But there are some things that maybe would be directly translated into exercise that could just be added on. There's things as well, like I was thinking as well, I think Pilates bar might be a thing, but I think that's a bar on the wall. I was thinking something along the lines of bar laddies, which would be using a dowel or we'll stick with a dowel, because a barbell is just too much weight. Yeah. So it may be a dowel, and that basically could mimic.
For people who don't know, a dowel is essentially a brush handle.
Yeah, brush handle, just like a stick about shoulder and half width apart. And basically, what you do is you'd practice torque on it. So you try and break the bar and create tension in your body, and it really just kind of helps. But I think people do that with bands and blocks and balls and all that kind of stuff. So again, it's all based off the Pilates principles. But I try to get some people to do, you know, like a sit-up, and I try and get them to move slow. And people just keep moving fast.
They want to use momentum rather than using
And that's what it's all about. It's all about using a specific muscle and isolating it. Like I got someone there the other day, I was asking them to do what you'd call a rollover. And basically a very modified version of the rollover would be, you lie on your back, you bend your knees to around 90 degrees, you push through the floor to give yourself that little bit of stability, you bring your shoulders back, and then what you would do is you slowly tuck your knees over your chest to move, to curl from the bottom of your abs, so just below your hips, and to curl your lumbar spine inward to basically, you know, get a little bit of movement through your lumbar spine. And they just kept kicking their knees and kicking their legs, like kicking with momentum. And what that does is generally, like, you skip the muscle you're supposed to use. You know, you move from the micro muscle and the small muscles that are often ignored onto a macro muscle, you know, or a large group of muscles that you're normally familiar with using. And then you don't get the benefit of using the smaller muscles.
What's detrimental to doing that?
But you will overload a muscle that's otherwise not been worked. Because, for example, like or just maybe not even overload it, but ignore it altogether. But as I said,
and atrophy.
Exactly. Yeah.
You create that mind muscle connection with it as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like the principles that Joseph Pilates set down in Pilates are so sound. It's so difficult. But it's not necessarily a workout. It's not high intensity. It's very low intensity. Very, very low intensity. And that's what it's all about. It's like,
and that's so hard.
Did you ever hear people, like, one of the most challenging things to do is, you know, the 10-second push-up. 10 seconds down, 10 seconds up. Because you don't get to just use your strong muscles. You know, you don't get to just... And even another thing is, like, tendon on joint. You know, like, push, you know, whatever muscle you have, force the tendon through the muscle and put pressure onto the joint. And that's why people get, you know, shoulder pain, knee pain, elbow pain, because there's so much there that should be absorbing the impact. It's just not, because it's not been worked. Mm-hmm. Because, and again, it would work at a high intensity if the low intensity muscles were recruited and you built a mind muscle connection with them and developed with them. Because I literally found like my posture, my strength, even like I've been doing, I stayed away from a whole pile of strength training because I had three injuries. I stuck to Pilates for about 3 months and I came back to it and I had either the exact same performance or better.
Yeah.
But my performance and my alignment, my mobility was a whole lot better.
And that's I find, from our perspective as coaches, that can be one of the hardest things. It's just convincing people that, you know, it doesn't have to be a workout. You know, I mean, you don't have to come out of here busted. You don't have to come out of here sweating. Let's just take it back a notch, you know, for a couple of weeks, for a couple of months maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's work on fixing the issues that we have, as you highlighted, you know, tight hip flexors, kyphotic posture. And then, you know, you will bounce back bigger and stronger, but it's about taking that time out to work
it's,
in.
Yeah, and it's like if you work in, you might come out stronger. You know, it's like, because one of the big things I did is it was like, right, okay, if you do a deadlift, what do you want to do? Well, a big temptation for people is to round their back.
Mm.
And why? Well, because currently with your posture, you're stronger. But that's not a growth mindset. You know, it's like you have to go back to the bare bones. You have to maybe drop your weight, maybe even to nothing. Because if you hold it down and get proper tension on the muscle, retract your shoulder blades and do a deadlift, all your holes start to come out. You know, if you're really tight in your hamstrings and thereby you started to round your back to compensate. But obviously, you got way more power now with your rounded back and your short hamstrings than you did otherwise. It's like, well, that seems like the more obvious one to go for. But it's like if you regress for a couple of weeks, well then, like if I was to say to somebody, it's like if we want to, obviously depending on the fishing rod, depending on the material, but if you were to rely on a fishing rod or a lever and pulley system to lift weight, you'd pick the lever and pulley system because it's just more mechanically sound. And your body is set up in different ways to be, or and you can set it up in different ways. Your spine's not meant to bear weight. And when you do, it turns into a kind of fishing rod, you know, arced, you know, and eventually if you arc something and put enough stress, it's going to snap. And that's basically what happens to muscle and tissue and even vertebrae and bulging discs and all the kind of things at times.
Yes.
It's like, but if you've got a strip of muscle that can run either side of that, and if you can strengthen them and hold them in position, well, then the spine is safe. And then the hamstrings, which are basically strings, you know, they're very similar to rope, which you have are power, like tied into these big powerhouse of your glutes, you know, and if you can learn to activate them and brace your spine and use your back muscles to hold everything in place, it's like with that lever and the mechanical advantage of getting the right alignment and the right, what would you say, leverage, the right leverage, you could move so much more weight than, you know, simply running your back and sticking with your current posture. So it's really an investment in movement for overall strength and performance.
And so kind of what would you feel are the most common kind of things? So anyone listening right now that kind of maybe is kind of worried, listen, I know I've really tight hamstrings, my hip flexors really tight, or kind of they're concerned about mobility, but maybe just kind of procrastinating on it. Kind of what's the kind of, you know, one or two, three kind of actionable steps or stretches or exercises that they could do to kind of start seeing some progress? So say, like, as you said, common, say the hip flexor, a big thing for people, kyphotic posture, hamstrings, that kind of stuff.
Cool. Well, a big one would be stop slouching. Stop slouching right now. Wherever you're doing, wherever you're listening to this, puff your chest, tighten your tummy, and retract your shoulder blades. So what they say is lift your shoulders up, bring them back to the back of the socket, and then lower them down, and then without the chest coming into play and the shoulders rounding forward. So your shoulders come up, back, and down. And what the bring them back does is it will bring your scapula together and draw that shoulder blade muscle that's in between your shoulder blades, that strength. When you draw them down, you lengthen your traps and you stop, you know, that high shoulder, jaw tension, neck pain kind of problem that people run into. And a big one is, like, what's the first question that people get asked when in relation to health and fitness, or a big admission of guilt? People say, it's like, I can't even touch my toes. Try and touch your toes. That would be a big one. Lengthen your hamstrings, you know, and a big one to be would be draw your shoulders back, stick your butt, try and draw, you know, your head, hip, an ankle to 90 degrees. So you're not rounding your back and you're just pushing your butt back as far as you can and try and draw a length through the hamstring that way. So you're not just rounding your back to touch your toes. But to touch your toes, you might need to, you know, round your back if your arms are a little bit shorter, your legs are a little bit longer than normal. But the idea is get some length in your hamstrings, draw some strength where you can do that with your shoulders back. And then a big one is lunge. Lunge forward. You don't necessarily have to keep your knee off the ground, but get into a step out in front with one leg, bend your back knee to about 90 degrees and push your hip out and squeeze your butt to stretch the hip flexor. Because they're three very simple basic ones to do. And then another one would be a very slow abdominal crunch just to develop core strength and a very slow back extension. So line from your belly, maybe get your hands up as if someone's pointing a gun at you, what you call the I surrender position. And then just very slowly lift your chest off the ground and set it back down. And doing these things with focus on the muscle you're trying to use and timing with nice deep slow breaths.
And kind of timing wise, how long would you recommend for holding these positions? Or
the longer the better. So look, if you have 5 minutes, I would recommend spend 5 minutes on one muscle a day, and do maybe 2 or 3 muscles in cycle. Yeah. So then 3 in cycle.
I think it's important to mention that, like, if you're doing these stretches for like 10 seconds, that it's not enough.
It's enough to alleviate a little bit of tension.
Yeah.
So as I said, it's like if you do 10 push-ups and then stretch, you'll alleviate a little bit of tension. But obviously, if you have bad posture, you're getting pulled back in that position every day, every time you sit, every time. And it's like, so for example, one thing that they recommend in the Supple Leopard is like, if you do a serious amount of sitting every day, it's like your hip flexors are constantly engaged. And one of the biggest complaints I always get is brutally tight hip flexors. So it's like,
that's what we see as well.
You know, in order to compensate that, it's like you should be in hip flexor stretches basically at the end of every day. Just to compensate for sitting. Apart from anything else, apart from exercise, just to compensate from sitting, loosening up the hip flexors.
Remember we had the conversation about one of the clients with her tight hip flexors, and that caused her upper back to round as well. You thought it was in the connective chain.
It all seems to be, it's all connected. It's a knock-on effect. If you've got tight hamstrings, it's going to affect somewhere further up the chain, tight hip flexors.
If you're tight in your hip flexors, chances are what's going to happen is your pelvis is going to tilt forward. Your lower back is then going to come into a lordotic position. So your lower back is just going to kick in and you're going to get that extreme arch in your back. And then what's going to happen is to compensate, you know, your
balance wise.
You're gonna have to lean back almost, to compensate for the amount of shift that's after happening forward with your pelvis, and then you might have to stick your neck out in front in order to again counterbalance that, and then round your shoulders. So a big common thing you see with some people who's extremely bad posture would be lordotic kyphotic.
The double whammy.
Exactly. So you got the tight lower back and the rounded upper back. And that might all be coming from tight hip flexors. Yeah, but the big thing about it is like, you, and I know it sounds very, very cheesy and all that kind of stuff, but you generally only get one body. And I never, for like, and thank God I caught it so young, I'm only 23, but it's like, I never stretched, didn't believe in stretching, and was told a myth of, you know, if you stretch, you lose power. Because most people think, you know, the tighter the spring is wound, the more of a bounce explosive you're going to get off of it. But it's kind of like, if them coils are knotted and wound together, it's like you don't get any reverb. It's not just that, you know, the muscle is short and powerful. It's like that's, you know, for the most part, that could just be genetic. And an awful lot of it could be trained. But it's like if you can get, it's all about the pull back. If you can get the full extension of the muscle, like if you've got a bow and arrow, for example, the shorter you pull back the bow string, the less far that the arrow is going to go. But the more length you can draw that back to, the more reverb you're going to get to send the force forward. And that's more of a proper analogy.
Yeah. And so obviously here in Fine Fit, like one of our core philosophies kind of as a personal training studio and our program is, you know, save people time. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do the 30-minute workouts. We're looking for the minimum effective dose. And one of the things we come up with was the world's greatest stretch.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's a good place for people to start?
Done under the right mindset, yes. So if you take the principles of Pilates, I've never really done a yoga class. I will be starting a yoga course soon, but I imagine it's something very, very similar. It's just slow and mindful, slow down.
So it's more so it's a technique issue. It's like it's obviously the same end. It's no good if you don't do it correctly. Exactly. You don't do it slowly, mindfully.
I'd say even just doing it, like if you know the positions you're going into and just doing it as well, you still feel the stretch. Like some people just still can't.
That's why my big thing would be listen to your body. Because most people, you know, like they'll do a stretch and their body will be arcing out in pain, you know, like their back's rounded, and they think, just power through. It's like if your body's telling you you've gone too far with a sharp, sudden pain, it's like there's a good chance you've gone too far. You know, and like I said, it's like listen to podcasts about it, go on to YouTube and listen to some experts. Like take 5 minutes to figure out what a good stretch is, what makes a good stretch. And do that.
And as we said, like obviously our business is coaching, you know, so it really does pay dividends long term to get a professional's help.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Rather than trying to do it on your own, it's like you can literally fast or shortcut success by working with a professional.
People have already figured it out.
Yeah.
Don't waste time, like valuable time, trying to figure it out again when it's already done.
And I have to say, it's like, I remember like when I did my Pilates course, to be honest, I didn't feel like the systems to set up an exam were really the best. But the coaches I had were phenomenal. So outside of a great system, if you've got a great coach, that's really all that matters. You know, someone that can communicate the right principles across to you and really understands themselves and then has a passion for teaching others and is just good with people and friendly and open and honest. Like if you find that, it's like it doesn't matter what the kind of background is or what anything is, like find a good coach. It's like, and despite everything else, like they will be able to communicate things in such a clear and concise way that you'll nearly have too much good information.
Mm.
You know, and the internet is full of that. You know, like how many, like go on to Instagram and just search in Pilates or search in.
As we said, one of the issues can be, it's like it's one thing kind of watching it and seeing it being done, but then it's the coaching cues. You know, when you're doing it yourself,
yeah, exactly.
You know, you can't, unless like, you know, you're being strict and you're doing it in a mirror and you're kind of being really honest with your form. As we said earlier on, it's like sometimes people can kind of try and force themselves through the stretch and the kind of maybe. Not as effective as it could be.
A big thing that I find with not just stretching but with everything is like people seek perfection. You know, they get too obsessed with in stretching, for example, in exercises, like the range of motion they want instead of regressing to the range of motion they have. You know, it's like if you really do, it's like just be honest and humble. If you've never done stretching before, don't rush right down to your toes. Just close your eyes, bring your shoulders back, stick your butt out, get tension on your hamstrings. And stick your butt back and maybe lower yourself down towards the ground until you hit maybe whatever you feels a little bit uncomfortable. Take a couple of big deep breaths and hold there. It's like a little bit of something is better than a little bit of nothing. You know, it's like stop to do a little bit more than you're doing now every day. So like I said, the minimum effective dose would be 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day over the course of a week is 35 minutes. That's basically a yoga class.
Mm.
You could say you did a yoga class a week.
Yeah.
You know, and people, I have heard people, like people do a Pilates class once a week and they find, you know, oh, geez, it really brought me on. So a little bit over a long time can really make a big difference.
But it's what you learn as well when you do it, and you'll progress. And when you do learn and progress, like you'll want to take more steps to advance yourself again. So then like that's when the 5 minutes becomes 10 minutes intrinsically rather than forcing yourself to do like 5 minutes or something.
Yeah. And like I said in the podcast last week, it's a habit. You know, stretching is just, it's a habit for me now. It's like I get up in the morning and I stretch. I was saying to you guys, it's like I'm constantly checking my form. Like I even figure out, like I lunged wrong, I deadlifted wrong, I squatted wrong. Yeah, like not wrong, you know, to the point whereby my form was completely off. But it's like in terms of spinal mechanics and, you know, optimal performance, it's like I genuinely was like at risk of X, Y, and Z injuries down to long-term.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than, especially going on Instagram and seeing people doing, like, you know, really heavy deadlifts but with absolutely horrible posture.
There's a great quote in the book, and basically what it says is doing that depending, so it's like there's a time and there's a place. If you're doing that to get the world record, it's maybe not a bad thing, because the world record is, you know, because some people, like, so I think some Olympians said that if they were given a pill that would mean that they would win the Olympics but die at 30, that because of the state of mind they're in, they do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, rounding your back in that kind of pursuit doesn't seem like the big thing. But it's like, if you're just doing that for a workout, it's the equivalent of burning down your house to make a slice of toast.
Cool. Yeah, and just to finish this off, we've got some family coming into my dad's birthday. What advice would you like to leave people with? Is there anything else you want to include before the go?
When you're moving, listen to your body, slow down, and get a good coach.
Just really quick, okay? What do you mean by listen to your body?
I mean that your body is literally, like, you're connected to, you know, pain signals. So there's two kind of pains that it seems to be in relation to movement. There's just slow, uncomfortable burn, which builds slowly, which basically tells you, by the way, you're doing something that's fatiguing us. We're going to gradually get slower depending on your intensity, and I'm going to give you a signal to stop. This is going to keep building and keep building until the point whereby you could do damage, and we all know that, you know, do get down on the floor, hold a plank, or do a push-up. Eventually, the burn sees in and it gets too much. And then you get the other one, which is the sharp, sudden, needle-like pain or hot flash or however the hot rod through you, the sharp, sudden, shocking pain. It's like that's saying stop right now. The pain comes in, the signal comes in quick and sudden. And most people, what they do is they do a movement that they know will get them that response. So they just do a little bit less of it. They go until a tolerable measure, but there's something very, very unnatural about it. And you can feel it and register. But it's like if you're not conscious and not mindful about it, it's like you can blank it out and do that enough times and it'll lead to serious injury. And we have people who's like I literally have people who have shoulders and knee injuries over the last few while, and I've said stop, regress the movement, go way back, and then you see them, you know, you'll come back to them a week later and they come in and they set up for the wrong exercise, even though you gave them a prescribed exercise. And their mindset, it's not coming from a bad, it's like, oh, I'll just power through it. It's like, you should never do that.
That's kind of short-term kind of...
As I said, you're burning down the house for a slice of toast. It's not worth it. It's really not worth it. Invest in a Pilates or a yoga program and invest and work in rather than work out. You clearly haven't got any more to give, so it's time to start adding to the body and building proper alignment, building proper posture.
Cool. All right, guys. So if you guys have any questions on flexible mobility, you're going to get Brandon on Instagram at FFMovementCoach. If you want to kind of get in touch with us, kind of get involved with Find Fit or our program, just go to www.findfitnation.com. We have a free trial there. You can come down and check out our program for 7 days, see if it's a good fit for you. And you'll also find Chris on Instagram at FFChrisN.
I really would like to apologize for my raspy voice. I'll be better next week.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for taking the time to listen. If there's any questions, any comments, feel free to get in touch. And we'll see you in the next one.
Peace. Much love.